I'm talking today about someone who made a wrong call. Here's a time for confession for your soul. Confession is good for the soul, isn't it? Did you ever make a wrong call?
Yeah.
If you did, will you own it and stand up and say, I made a wrong call in my life? I am standing as well. So well done to all of you who have stood up. You're the ones telling the truth. And it's good to know we're broken people and sometimes we get it wrong. Amen? Okay, let's sit down again. But sometimes the wrong calls we make hurt us. Sometimes the wrong calls you and I make hurt others. And that's where it gets hard. I'm going to look today at Ruth chapter 1. But before I do, I want to just give a brief recap. Last time I was talking, I did a word called cover me. And that was from Ruth chapter 3. I don't know if you know or not, but maybe you've seen it. Most of the great movies and box sets today, they start in one period of time and then they go back to what happened before it. And I decided to take that approach with the Bible, because I'm just a Hollywood boy, you know. I'm really shallow and I just wanted to... No, I really was taken up with Ruth chapter 3 first and then Ruth chapter 1. So you're going to have to bear with it. Amen.
Amen.
So let me just remind you, as the clock is against me, what happened. We saw this young widow, very young. She probably was only in her early 20s at the most, and how her husband died. She was with Naomi, her mother-in-law, and her husband and both sons died. And we saw that they left the land of Moab, went back to Bethlehem for her mother-in-law, Naomi. And Naomi gave her some very good advice. And Naomi basically said to her, we saw in Ruth 3:3-4, and she said, you go to where they're threshing the barley. After Boaz has eaten and lies down to sleep, go and lie down at his feet and he'll tell you what to do. Some people think this was a man trap. It wasn't. This is predating society. This is pre-communication, digital, none of that. There wasn't even a letter posting with Postman Pat. So it was almost impossible for a single woman and a single man to communicate. So this was understood in the culture. And remember, I was just giving all the single girls great advice. Save you thousands of euros in relationship counselling. Thousands of hours with counsellors about how to get your man. Remember Naomi's advice to Ruth. Can anyone remember it?
Very good. Look good. Let him eat.
That's right. Well done, Megan. Make yourself pretty, smell nice, and let the man eat his dinner. Hallelujah. And then you go and you talk to him. And I spared loads of women in this church, so just let the man eat his dinner because he's hungry. And when he's finished, then you can talk to him. But if you talk to him before he eats his dinner, you're in trouble. So let the man eat his dinner with the brother, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, no, I just want to let us leave, that's all. And we saw how Ruth said to Boaz, that was the guy, and she said to him, cover me with your cloak or garment because you are my kinsman redeemer. And we saw that it wasn't just the physical warmth, there was nothing immoral happening here, but it was spiritual above all. It was emotional, it was mental, it was financial. And so Boaz, to quote the old King James, extended the border of his mantle, there's old words, over Ruth. And then finally we saw that he was her kinsman redeemer, and we saw a kinsman redeemer back then would buy a relative, not his immediate family, but his relatives. If they were caught in slavery, he would buy them and set them free. We saw that today. God promises in Romans 6 that he sets us free from the slavery to sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He sets people free from addictions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
He sets people free from depression. Amen. Might be a struggle, but he sets us free from loneliness, from emptiness, and I could go on and on. We were also reminded that the kinsman redeemer was the avenger of family blood. If a member of the family was killed in cold blood, there were no police back then, there were no prisons, there really wasn't a justice system. And so he the kinsman redeemer, would set them, he would revenge them so that it wouldn't happen again. And we're told today, again in Romans 12, leave all revenge to the Lord. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We were told that, we saw that a kinsman redeemer would buy back lost family land. And we're told today that the Lord restores the years the locusts have eaten to us. God is restoring the years you've lost. Hallelujah. And finally, these are just examples. If there was a childless widow in that culture, in that society, that woman was finished. Because she had no children, she had no respect in society, she had no income. And Ruth and Naomi were living on the margins before this. And we're told that, and he would marry her. And we're told today that the Lord protects the widow. He is a father to the orphan, and he puts the lonely in families. Praise his name. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're just going to take a look at Ruth 1 today. And I pray in Jesus' name your word would feed our souls. And it would not just impact us mentally, but spiritually and emotionally in Jesus' name. So I'm going to look at just some verses from Ruth chapter 1. Naomi, so we're going back in time, set out to return to Bethlehem as she had heard that the Lord had visited his people with an abundant harvest. When her two daughters-in-law followed her, she told them to return to their mothers, as the hand of the Lord had gone out against her. She kissed them, and they all lifted up their voices, and they wept. Hallelujah. Orpah, not Oprah, Orpah. Apparently Oprah's mother got the name wrong from the Bible, so just in case you're wondering. So there you go now, you didn't know that. Orpah left her, that was the other daughter-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And Naomi said to Ruth, see how your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and back to her gods. Go and do the same. But Ruth declared to her, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. When Naomi saw that she was determined, she said no more. So they traveled on until they arrived in Bethlehem. The whole town was stirred at their arrival, as the women said, is this Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, pleasant, she answered. Call me Mara or bitter. I left here full, but I've come back empty, as the Lord has moved against me. And they arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. This whole book of Ruth is stunning. It is stunning. It is emotional. It is deeply spiritual. And it is a prophetic voice into our lives today. All that about the kinsman redeemer, that is a type, a shadow. It's a prophetic voice of Jesus who was to come. And Jesus is alive today.
Amen.
And he is our redeemer.
Yes.
And he rescues us. And he delivers us, and he buys us out of slavery. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he will protect us. You don't have to protect yourself. Rely on God.
Yes.
We're told, looking at the clock, Naomi returned to Bethlehem. She heard the Lord had blessed his people with an abundant harvest. She left Bethlehem, some of you know the story well, because there was temporary difficulty there. There was a bit of a famine there. Doesn't seem like anyone died during this. But things got tough. And so Naomi and her family left and went to a foreign land at that time. Now, this isn't just about geography. This is about spirituality. She shouldn't have left. Every marriage, every friendship, every workplace, every school, every church will go through periods of difficult testing. Sometimes the worst thing we can do is going, it's not going well here, I'm leaving. Brothers and sisters, I challenge you. Are we that weak? Are we that jelly baby in our faith? Do we just give up? I know sometimes you've no choice. I know there are some marriages that are deeply toxic and wounding. I'm not talking about the extremes. But some people don't have any sticking power. And perhaps Naomi and her husband and family were that. But she then heard, a couple of years later, there was an abundant harvest. If you are going through a temporary difficulty, I declare over you, I prophesy over you. God's tendency is to abundantly bless his people. The danger is we fail the test and there's a bit of difficulty and we run away. May God give you the power to stick at it and rescue and save what's worth it in your life, because an abundant harvest will come. So Naomi had left this, and now she heard things were good again, and so she goes back. Look at the conversation between her and Ruth. As Naomi's two daughters-in-law followed her, she told them return to their mothers, as the hand of God was against her. And this is what she saw, and this is what she believed. And maybe you're here today, and you're saying in your soul, the hand of God is against me. Just press a pause button on that. She went on to say, Naomi said to Ruth, remember, I'm going to call her Oprah, all right, just for the... Orpah went back to her family, back to her gods. Naomi said to Ruth, see how your sister-in-law, this is incredible, has gone back to her people and back to her gods. And you might go, here is she bowed down to a statue. No, no, no. These are demonic gods. These are false gods, small g, not big g, small g gods. And she went back and she encouraged Ruth to do the same. Go and do the same. Wrong call. Most of us stood up earlier to say we had made wrong calls. And maybe you and I have hurt people in our wrong calls. Can I say this to you? It doesn't end with the wrong call. Because God changed the whole situation here. If you made a wrong call, God is going to rescue and he is going to fix it, because that's the God of the Bible. Yeah, we can reap what we sow, and sometimes there will be some difficulties, but by and large, God delivers us. But right now, she made one wrong call. Do you know what? We have to have a bit of humanity here. We look at that out of context and we go, what a waster of a woman. What a stupid woman. What a non-spiritual woman. Let's remember the context. This woman, her husband is after dying. Then both her sons are after dying. All her natural family are now gone. She is destitute. No social welfare, no work for women. She's no income. She is alone. And probably just as worse for her, she believes God's hand has gone against her. So this woman is as low as you can get. And she knew she was going back into a situation where she had no land, they had nothing. She knew they would be living on the margins of society. She didn't want to bring Ruth into that, but she was still wrong. She shouldn't have said that. Sometimes our faith superimposes on the logic of the situation. Sometimes we have to say, this is what I feel, this is what it looks like with the circumstances, but can you see everything? Can I see everything? God can.
Amen.
And that's why we're different from a lot of the people out there. We make decisions based on what God wants for us, because that's the best. We protect ourselves, we protect our loved ones, and we don't hurt people when we do it God's ways. But this woman was in trauma, and we have to see that. And you know what? God never judged her. God never got her. There was no punishment. Why? Because God saw that the woman was broken. This woman wasn't thinking clearly. And so her wrong call was understandable. I actually don't know that God's hand was against her, and I speak this today, and I declare it. Sometimes God's hand isn't against you. What was wrong with her? She moved out from where God wanted her to be. It was a wrong destination. She should have stayed with the people of God. Ah, but there was a famine there. Yeah, famines come, famines go. Good times, bad times, years of plenty, years of little. But we keep with the Lord. I'm a Christian nearly 44 years. I can think of years where it was, oh my goodness, I don't know how I got through them. But the tendency and the temptation in all of our souls, the natural man or woman within you, is to go the natural way. But you kind of make a call and go, No, my faith says this. So I am not leaving. I am not going to a place where I will be moving away from where God wants me. So Naomi moved out from the protection and the blessing of God upon his people, even though there was trouble there at the time. So her trouble lasted way longer than what it ever could have had if she had stayed. I love when Ruth pushed back. Ruth declared to Naomi, you can read it all in Ruth chapter 1, the last sentence, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. Do you know if you see the pattern here? She belonged before she believed. That was the same with most of us. We connect with someone because we see something. Michael spoke at the Happiest Nine about the aroma and how sometimes you know someone as a Christian, you can sense and see the fruits of the Spirit in their lives. We begin to belong. She saw something in her mother-in-law, Naomi, and probably her husband, that was of God. But she grew up worshipping pagan demons. And she saw where the light was. She saw where the reality was. She saw where the spirituality was. So she began to connect with the people. And then connecting with the people, she said, this is because of the God you believe in. Can I encourage you? It's exactly the same today. You are the only Bible anyone will ever read for most people in Ireland today. We think, Bible is everywhere. 99% of people never opened the Bible. They haven't a clue. They won't read the Bible, but they'll read you. They'll read me. So what is the atmosphere we're giving off? Naomi, even though she was broken, even though she was out of God's will, still gave off something of the aroma of life. And Ruth smelt it and saw it in her. And so she pushed back. And so she wouldn't allow Naomi's brokenness to mislead her. Praise God. Praise God. I keep coming back. This verse has been with me all summer, and it was huge with me for Ruth and Naomi over the last month or so. This has nothing to do with the story, but I think it has. It explains that Deuteronomy 1:6, the Lord said to Moses and the people, they were at Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb it's also called, you've stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and start your journey. Ruth knew she had stayed long enough in the mountain of Moab. I'm going to use it figuratively. Long enough she had stayed back there. Long enough she saw these demon gods. Long enough she saw what it was like to live in darkness instead of light. But she saw enough in this broken, traumatized woman that there was the smell of life. And she wanted to be with her people. She knew what the old way was like. She had been long enough at that mountain. Can I suggest some of us here today that God is saying to you, you've been long enough at that mountain. You've been long enough going around it. It's time to turn and start your journey and get closer to God and closer to his people. Would anyone say amen? Amen. Praise God. And I love when it says then, when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more, and they went on to Bethlehem. You see, Naomi was actually from Ireland. Naomi came from Ireland because Irish culture is a culture that hugely values words, spoken and written. Why do we have more Nobel Prizes for literature per head of population than almost any other nation on earth? Poetry, literature, because we love words. The Irish culture is all about the Shanachie, you tell the story. And the downside of that is that we don't speak negatively. And there's a place where that's good and there's a place where it's really messed up. I can remember my father and mother saying, there was no more said about it. Don't say a bit now. There's no more said about it. You see, you might think elephants come from Africa or India. No, they live all over Ireland. They're in every sitting room and every kitchen in this hall. There is an elephant in the room if you're Irish, because there is no more said about it. So Naomi was Irish. Hallelujah. sometimes it's the right thing not to bring something up, let it go. And sometimes we do have to talk things through. So can I say to the Irish, if you're grow up here, because this is the culture, just have the discernment to know which is which. Because sometimes we have to go, look at that fat elephant with a big long trunk sitting over in the corner. Let's get the elephant out of the room. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So Naomi sees that Ruth has something deep and something powerful is going on to her. So Naomi is not impacted by, Ruth is not impacted by Naomi's wrong call. Just get that. The person she looks up to, her one sole spiritual mentor, if you will, kind of like a pastor, tells her to do something, and she's not impacted by it. This is a vital piece in the word today. If I tell you to do something and it's wrong, may you have the discernment to know that I'm wrong. Hallelujah. Or whoever they are, he's a great apostle. Doesn't matter. He's only human. With respect, he goes to the toilet just like you. Hello? Don't let any man or woman be more powerful than God's word. The Bereans were noble from this town in the New Testament because they went and searched the scripture for themselves. Ruth didn't have a scripture, but she knew Naomi's wrong call was not God's will for her. Here and now, if you've ever given wrong advice, and I have, not since I've been pastor, of course, but if you've ever given wrong advice, trust God will have that person's life. You and I are not God. He will keep them. I just feel prophetically, if there's anyone you care about, and maybe your advice hasn't been the best, I'm going to ask you to have great courage. I'm not going to call you. Just stand where you are, and we're going to pray and lift them up to the Lord. Come on, do it. It's dark. Just stand up. I gave wrong advice to someone, and you know what? I just pray for them right now. Fair dues. Praise God. That takes humility and courage. Give them a round of applause, guys. Well done. I ask you just to lift your hands where you are and put that person in God's hands. And we thank you, Lord, that even though, like Naomi, we may have made the wrong call because we weren't seeing straight, but we thank you, God, that the person we gave the wrong advice to, you love them more than we do. And you've got their back. So we commit them in your care. Thank you, Lord, we're in a better place today. But we ask you, God, will they be like Ruth? And will they say no to the wrong advice and follow your word in Jesus' name?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Give them a round of applause again. That's a great courage. Praise God. They get back to Bethlehem as we read. All the women remember her. And they go, is that Naomi? Didn't see her for years. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. Here we go. I left here full and I came back empty. I left here full and I came back empty. Do you know, Naomi left Bethlehem. I bet you she wasn't saying, thank God for my husband. Thank God for my two handsome sons or whatever they were. Thank God for, she never counted her blessings. What did Naomi do? She made the mistake I have often made and you have often made. We just take some people for granted. But she is coming back empty. What a testimony. I left the place where there was a temporary famine, but I was full. But now I'm coming back empty. May God forbid anyone here not to count our blessings. Can you think right now of some people in your life and you can go, thank God they're in my life. Do you have people like that?
Yes.
Some of us aren't sure. Don't be like Naomi. Let's just thank God for the people we have in our life. Can we close our eyes? Just think of them. Just whisper their names to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we will not take these people for granted. We value them. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We cherish them.
Amen.
And we love them. here and now, the 25th day of August in the year of our Lord, 2024, at 53 McCurtain Street, Cork, Ireland, we declare, thank you, Jesus, for the people and the blessing you've put in our lives. Whatever the future holds, we give thanks for these blessings in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me come towards a conclusion because I know the clock is against me. How did this end up? Some of you know the story. For many of you, it's new. We know that after that strange encounter to us where Ruth asked Boaz to cover her, he then rose up early the next morning and he sorted it all out legally and he ended up marrying her. Remember, he was an older man. And they married, and then we're told Ruth gave birth to a son, and the women from the town who had seen her said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has given you a redeemer. He will restore you and nourish you in your old age. If you are old here, you regard yourself old, would you stand? Come on. Let's say if you're over 65. Okay, there's a few people about 30 standing up. I'm going to get some others to join you. Let's say you're over 55. Would you just stand? Would you just stand? Go on. I know that this is a fairly young church, but I'm going to pray this will be you. Charles, this is for you. Antone, this is for you. Michael, Elner, all of you, look at this. He will restore you and nourish you in your old age. Will you lift up your hands to heaven? If you're near these guys, would you just put a hand on their shoulder or their elbow? Nowhere else. Shoulder, elbow. No, they're the two places. In the name of Jesus, we pray that the promise and the declaration made in Bethlehem to these people who were mature, to Naomi, who was mature, and we pray, may God restore you even more from this day forward, and may he nourish you. Nourish you in your old age. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Dara, I don't know what you came up to me for. It's really confusing. Bear with me just 2 more minutes. This is prophetic. Your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is worth more than 7 sons. I speak to someone here. You're looking for support to someone, and they're not going to give it to you. And there's someone in your life that you're not even considering, and they will be a blessing to you. Ruth, this foreign girl who didn't even have a Jewish upbringing, who knew nothing, was worth more to her than if she had 7 hairy, strong fellas with big bank accounts. No. God moves people into our lives, and at our peril, we don't see what's going on. May God give us insight and discernment to see who is worth more than 7 sons to us. We'll say amen.
Amen.
Then Naomi took the child in her arms and she cared for them. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of King David. And as we saw 2 weeks ago, he was the ancestor of Jesus Christ. Clock is really against me. I've got to conclude. What's this saying? It began with death, but it ended in life. The world will say it begins with life and it ends in death. The Bible says it begins with death and it ends in life. See, a seed of corn must be buried in the ground before it grows. Then the blade appears, and after a while you see the ears begin to show. Life's begun. Hallelujah. The seed has to die before the life comes. We die to ourselves, and then we are brought to life because we want to follow Jesus. It begins and it began with Naomi, with death all around her. Death, death, death. But it ended with her holding this child, the promise of new life, the promise of the Redeemer who was above every kinsman redeemer. That's how this story ends. And we leave Naomi with her heart full of joy, with this older lady, blessed beyond blessing. It's so moving and emotional to read this. Blessed beyond blessing, even though her heart was broken. Can I say to you, is your heart broken today? Have you lost a relationship? Have you lost a child? Have you lost relationally someone you really cared for? The God I am restores the years, the locusts of Eden. We're going to sing a beautiful song. We've sang it already. I needed rescue, is what this verse said. All of us make wrong calls. You stood up and you testified it half an hour ago. But he is the deliverer of those of us who make mistakes. When I was going to bed last night, I saw this. I saw a dagger tearing through someone. I saw a piece of material being ripped. And I believe God told me that people are coming in here today with a tear. Something has torn in their souls. And just like Naomi, who was torn and stabbed by life, but it ended in healing and blessing and a future. And God is saying, his fingertips are going to touch the tear in your soul, the dagger in your back. He is going to heal it. So I'm going to conclude by praying that if you have a tear in your soul, nobody's looking, just lift up your hand to the Lord. Okay, I see your hands all over. Thank you for Naomi in the Bible. She is an example and a testimony, and it speaks a better word than what the world will tell us. And so I pray into every tear in every soul, every dagger in every back, every wound that is bleeding today. Oh Jesus, let your nail-pierced hands touch that wound now. Would you sew up the tear? Would you sew up the wound? And would your nail-pierced hands go over it and let even the wound disappear? Come, Lord Jesus, because your name is like ointment poured on a womb. And just as you did that to Naomi, mistakes and wrong calls and all, I pray a healing into all in a similar position today. And I pray that everyone here would leave here full and not empty. Come and fill us, Holy Spirit, again, because we leak. And let your Holy Spirit be poured into our souls now. In Jesus' mighty name, God's people said. Amen.